This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show, hour number two here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. You can also watch us on YouTube at the Team 980. And the way we start hour two is the way we start hour two every single day with Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Joining us today, our colleague, who of course hosts the Kevin Sheehan Show from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is the one and only Kevin Sheehan. Sheehan, what's up, dude? Welcome back to the show.
What's up, Craig? How you doing?
I'm doing well. So the intro is like someone who's there. How long have you been doing radio in D.C.? You've been a fan your whole life. You grew up here. How long have you actually been doing radio in D.C.? Just for the record.
20 years.
20 years now. Is this like, do we have an official date that we should be celebrating Kevin Sheehan's 20 years?
No. Actually, it's probably 20, going on 21, because I was like part-time doing updates, the whole thing. So yeah, it's like 21.
Okay. I feel like that's something that we missed as a station that we should celebrate 20 years.
I don't like to be celebrated for much anyway. I'm not a big birthday guy. I'm not a big, you know, I like other people's parties.
Oh, okay.
When's your birthday? I'll come to that.
It's in February. And you, Anthony, let's start planning my birthday now. It's the theme this year is a celebration of Kevin Sheehan.
Hey, look, say no more.
February what?
23rd.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You and I have the same birthday.
Is that a Scorpio?
Just missing by a day.
Oh, really? Are you day before or day after?
I am the day after.
Okay.
Just a different year.
By like two, it's fine.
But we're both fish. I think it's a Pisces thing.
I think, that's as far as my astrology knowledge goes as well. Anthony, what?
Did I say Pisces or Scorpios?
I didn't say anything. Your mic was off.
I meant to say Pisces. Sorry, guys.
Oh, okay. You didn't say anything. Your mic was off. So,
Anthony, just focus on Georgetown Prep's schedule. Get that.
Hey, look, Kev, I got you.
All right. The reason we wanted to have Kevin on is because Kevin, doing radio for 20 years in this town and being a lifelong fan, has such great historical perspective. So it's always fun when big moments happen or we're trying to kind of figure out the perspective of something and bring Kevin on and get his. When you make your list of like all-time moments of Burgundy and Gold history that you have witnessed, you have read about, that exist in the franchise history, how high is the Hail Jaden or whatever we want to call this thing up on the list? And do you have a name that you like yet for it?
I don't have a name that I like yet for it, and I haven't heard a lot of the names. But it is without question the number one game-ending play in franchise history. You know, in terms of a true walk-off, you know, it's not going to match the Riggins 4th-and-1 run in Super Bowl 17. That's the number one play in franchise history. It's not going to, you know, be where Dexter and Daryl Grant, you know, picked off Gary Hogaboom, ran it into the end zone for a touchdown to clinch that appearance in Super Bowl 17. It's not Daryl Green's punt return at Soldier Field in the playoffs to win a game. But there aren't a lot of walk-off moments, period, in franchise history. That one is probably number one. The only other one, Craig, and you got to be a certain age to remember this one, but Ken Houston, one of the greatest players in franchise history and one of the greatest safeties in the history of the league, tackled Walt Garrison at the one-inch line, literally on the final play of the game, in a Monday night game against the Cowboys back in 1973 to preserve a 14-7 win. That, in terms of walk-off plays, that's probably the one that you'd comp it to.
Was there a Jacksonville Mark Brunell to Santana Moss overtime situation? I feel like some research this week, that was the other one that kind of came up.
Yeah, there's a couple of walk-offs in overtime. I mean, Gary Clark caught a pass in overtime to beat the Vikings. It was a quick hitch that he turned into, you know, like a 50-plus-yard touchdown to win 44-38 It's a great game. There were a bunch of missed extra points in the game by Washington's kicker. But the Moss was during, you know, not a good season, 2006. But I think Santana Moss's two catches from Mark Brunell to beat the Cowboys on Monday Night Football, the Monday Night Miracle in 2005,
Sure. Certainly
are two of the most memorable plays, and it's one of the most memorable endings. It just wasn't a walk-off.
Right, and those plays go down in top 10 all-time moments because of the opponent kind of set up Santana's career here is the Cowboy killer, the whole deal. In terms of how the fan base has reacted, and not even so much as people calling the show, like we're getting obviously a lot of calls here. You've taken a lot of calls on your show about people's reaction in the moment. I'm curious, like, what your text threads are like. Like, for someone who's been a fan for a long time and has so many friends who are fans, like, what are those group texts like between you and your buddies that have been in the darkness for 30 years that all of a sudden are seeing light?
Well, it's an interesting question. I would say that, and this gets us into a topic that, I don't even want to address right now because we're in the middle of a lot of fun. But there are still, and I think I have a decent finger on the pulse of this thing, especially for, an age group, call it 45 and older, maybe 40 and older. There's still, some distance between this right now. I think, we've got 9 games left and there are going to be some playoff games this year. And there's a superstar player. Like, it's the perfect storm for bringing as many people back in the shortest period of time. It is a team that's winning. It's a team that's winning big. And it's a team that has a superstar player at quarterback. So all of those things have come together at once. And all of a sudden, look at where we were 8 weeks ago and where we are now. The team is the favorite to win the division. Actually, they're not this week. They're now a slight underdog. But they are certainly in the division race. They are in the race to be a top 2 seed, in the NFC. And they've got a player who's a legitimate MVP candidate. And so that's going to be interesting to see what the result of that is. The result so far is a lot of people are really excited. And I think a lot of new fans are coming to this team. A lot of younger people who never really had a reason. They live here, but they didn't have a reason to root for the team, are now gravitating towards the team. They haven't had a sellout yet, Craig. I would assume they're going to next week against Pittsburgh. Some of the early results from the television ratings locally weren't off the charts, but I do have this sense, like anybody that's doing what you and I are doing, that there's a tremendous buzz that we've not had here since 2012. 2012, the fan base was still intact for the most part, even though it was disillusioned, but it was still intact. Over the last 7 or 8 years, 2/3 of the fan base left. So there's a lot of work to get them back, but this is the perfect storm to test the theory as to whether or not somebody who says they're out is really out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Sheehan with us, of course. Check out the Kevin Sheehan Show daily, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on the Team 980. It's really interesting you say that because we had Clinton Yates on about 40 minutes ago, and he talked about very similar feelings that there's plenty of his buddies that are back in, but also plenty that are not. That there's like kind of, hey, nice job over there, but like I'm out. I already left, and I've emotionally separated. But he brought up an interesting point that I think was really good too that you just touched on as well, which which is that younger fans now have their moment where they go, oh, I'm in. This is fun. Because at the end of the day, like, especially when you're young, and I'm talking not just like teenagers or you know, young people in their 20s, I'm talking about like people that are 8 years old and are just, hey, that's the cool thing, because that's how an 8 year old brain works. They have this moment now that has brought them in. And I'm curious if, like anybody, you know, in your neighborhood, any kids that you know, like with that, if you've gotten a sense of that younger fan base, or even just like, you know, obviously not 8 year olds calling the radio station, but that younger fan base starting to call your show. And also just for posterity here, do you remember what that moment was for you that like solidified your fandom, whatever year that was?
Well, first of all, yes. I mean, I've had more, and maybe you have too, I've had more first time, long time, you know, calls
yes.
than I've ever yes. had in the last month and a half. There's definitely more interaction, both radio, podcast, et cetera, with younger fans. And I love that. And by the way, you know, older fans, the lifetime value to Harrison Company isn't as great as the 8 year old.
Fair enough.
So there's just a business answer there that says, look, this, you know, all due respect to Sheehan and all of his friends and Clinton Yates and all of his friends, but they don't have the same value to me over the course of the next 50 years or in whomever, you know, ends up taking the team after I pass on. That this younger, you know, group does. Now, there's a whole other argument to be made about, you know, who's got the most disposable income and who's the most valuable right now in terms of a fan. But beyond that, in terms of, yeah, for me, the first team I can remember, and my father was a massive fan. We actually had season tickets. And it was the George Allen's first team in 1971. And so that was a team that went to the playoffs. It was a team that just captured this city. And I consider that to be the beginning of what the Redskins really became to this town. I know that there are older people who will say, oh, no, the 60s with Sonny Jurgensen and Charlie Taylor and Jerry Smith and Bobby Mitchell. But they didn't win. They were bad teams. They were apparently fun teams to watch because they scored a lot of points. But George Allen brought a winning tradition to the city, and really, I think the city fell in love with the team at that moment. And Craig, some history with that year, that's the year the Senators left. So there was no baseball. That was the last year of Major League Baseball. They left. Bob Short was the owner. He took the team to Texas. They are still the Texas Rangers. And so for 34 years, there was no baseball. There was no hockey at that point. There was no NBA. The Bullets were in Baltimore. So they were the only show in town. And the city fell in love with that team. And then in love with, you know, everything that followed.
No, that's, I mean, that's great perspective. Great. And it just kind of tells you how the dynamic shift over the years from the Senators to the football team and now the different dynamics here. And I think one of the things that in some ways, like the Harris ownership group lucks out on is none of the other teams really are crushing it right now. And yeah, the Nats obviously win in 19, the Caps win the cup, but haven't really done anything significant since then. There's obviously been some other teams that have emerged in the last couple of years, but that just are not going to compete bluntly with the NFL. And like the Mystics, the Spirit are selling out over at Audi Field, but like that's a very different audience and crowd than what we're talking about with an NFL audience and crowd. And so there still is this void for this team to fill, even though that void has been there since kind of they left it, you know, I guess 1990, whatever, or if you even want to say 2015, kind of that breaking point that you referenced earlier where 2/3 of the fan base leaves. And whether it was directly tied to like the Cousins contract situation, I guess 2015, 2016, 2017, how RG was handled at the end and certain people's opinion of that at the time, whatever someone's breaking point was, there hasn't really been the void that's gotten filled. And the basketball team plays a huge, you know, the Wizards play a huge role in that. But I think the city dynamics, if I'm Josh Harris and I'm looking at the sales side of this thing, like I'm pretty excited about the opportunity here.
Yeah, and I don't think a big winner was ever going to have a difficult time if it was the football team. Like there's always been, you know this, I know this, anybody that does what we do, has always had a sense of this, you know, regardless of what a post-poll, you know, reflects about the most popular team in town. There is, you know, in terms of volume, there's even as bad as they've been, as much as the fan base is eroded, the conversation about the football team has always been number one. And there really hasn't been a close second ever. You know, even when people weren't going to the games or weren't watching the games, the conversation about the team and the fact that it was just sitting there simmering like, you know, they were one great player, one great team, you know, away. Now, there got to a point, obviously, with Snyder where he had to go, or people had checked out. And then, you know, what we were talking about earlier with respect to the name, et cetera. But this is a basketball city. Anthony will tell you this at its core in terms of how many people are involved in that sport and how great youth basketball and high school basketball. And, you know, we've been so lucky as a major market to have two major, you know, college basketball programs in the market. Just unfortunately, the NBA team's never been good. But but in terms of interest in watching and consuming, it's football. It's football in almost every city. Really.
No, 100%. So that leaves us about 2-3 minutes here to talk about the football team moving forward, now that we've put the context in place. And the hot question that I think you and I will be tackling on our shows the next 5 to whatever days between now and Tuesday. I don't know. I'm not very good at math, Kevin. However many days there are between now and next Tuesday, is what should Adam Peters do? How aggressive should he be? Do you have strong feelings on how aggressive they should be in adding a piece to this roster as they sit at 6-2? They have all the cap space. They have some extra draft picks and a roster that is, based off what we thought it would be going into the season, overperforming.
I mean, there's kind of a long step-by-step process that you have to go through to get to, okay, should we or shouldn't we? But my gut tells me that they absolutely should be talking about this, you know, talking to other teams about it. They have an offense that is capable of winning against anybody that they play against. The defense, I'm not sold on it yet. I mean, I don't know. They got run on the other day, and they gave up 200 yards and a quarter the other day against a team that had been struggling and a quarterback that had been struggling. I still think they need a corner. I still think they need a pass rusher. Whether or not somebody that fits what they're looking for is available, who knows? But if somebody is, and it's not a rental, because I don't think they're the Rams of 21, where they, you know, the Rams added Von Miller, and that ended up being a massive ad. They win a Super Bowl, but it was a rental. You know, I don't think they're in that position. But an average defense with their current offense means that they're a legitimate NFC championship contender at the very least. And so, yeah, I don't think you let these moments just get away. You know, I don't think you chalk up these moments to it doesn't matter because it's a building block year. They're not guaranteed in the future. So I would take advantage of it, and I would be calling around. And if you can find a corner or a pass rusher that fits what you're doing, fits your culture, and isn't a rental, I would definitely consider it.
I would too. And something that I'm chewing on and I want to talk to some folks about, and you get to be the first person I bounce this off of here. We get to do it live on the radio, which is fun, is how much their success actually also impacts what I think about what they can do moving forward and whether that's actually would be wise to go add someone that is not a rental at a premier position. Because if you want the top corner in the draft in a good corner draft or the top pass rusher in a good pass rusher draft, you got to pick pretty high. They're 6-2. They're not going to be picking terribly high unless they lose out the rest of the season, which it would involve all kinds of things that have gone wrong. So is their success also a factor here in terms of where they will be in the draft, knowing that if you want to get the best pass rusher, the best corner, the premier guys, they might not be available to you where you're drafting because of how good or how well you have done?
The answer is yes. You could also flip it around to free agency and say, their success may be more attractive for some of the top free agents when they get to free agency. But for me, it's like, why not give up? You know, I actually don't get hung up on the cost for a really good player. Let's just say a Denzel Ward, as an example, was available, and he's under contract for a couple of years beyond this year. I would not get hung up about a third rounder or a conditional third rounder. You know, by the way, look at the prices that have been paid for some of the, you know, wide receivers that have been traded. I mean, it's been much less than what I think anybody anticipated. But I totally agree with you on the draft. I wonder whether or not free agency Washington now with Jaden Daniels, with a winning program, with, you know, a functioning, well-functioning organization becomes more attractive for free agents. Remember the Amari Cooper year? They traded for him, remember, at the trade deadline, and it turned out to be a great trade for them. He was a rental at the time, but they signed him, and he took less money to stay in Dallas than Washington was offering. I think Washington's in a much different position moving forward in free agency after this season.
I 100% agree. My only thing with free agency is great players don't, like, truly great players aren't acquired in free agency because their teams re-sign them. And so, yeah, I that's why I kind of lean towards, well, sometimes you can get them by a trade because the finances no longer work for the incumbent team because they sign that player with the intention of being good. Things go sideways. They're not good. All of a sudden, it's like, well, we would value the cap space and the flexibility and the extra draft capital. And so I think that is something to consider for Washington for sure as we approach next Tuesday. Kevin will be talking about it 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can also check out his podcast. They're both called The Kevin Sheehan Show. Kevin, always a pleasure to have you, sir. Appreciate you, and I'll talk to you down the line.
Thanks, Craig.
All right, that's Kevin Sheehan with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, the Wheel of Mediocre Punishment is currently on Anthony's side of the studio. However, that's not because we've checked and we 100% know it's staying there. I truly do not know what we are about to uncover. Did Anthony or I win our picks this week? I don't know. We'll find out, and we'll pick three more games against the spread against each other on a competition Wednesday next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.